This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We begin our interviews with candidates for various offices in Southwest Michigan with John Hoadley. He won the Democratic nomination in August for Michigan's 60th State House District, which includes the city of Kalamazoo. That district is currently represented by Democrat Sean McCann, who is running for state senate. John Hoadley, thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
We're also joined by WMUK reporter Sevilla Mann. Thank you for being here as well.
Thank you.
John Hoadley, why don't you begin by telling us a little bit about yourself, reintroduce yourself to the audience, and tell us what you would like to do if you're elected to the State House.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate being here. I was excited and grateful to win the Democratic primary back in August. And so now we're turning our sights to the general election. And I really hope people are paying attention to the November election, because we're going to have some really big issues running in Michigan here. And that's why I decided to step forward and run for public service here. You know, I really believe in a Michigan that invests in people. And so for me, that means focusing on how we provide an education that's going to make us global leaders for today and tomorrow, how we're going to have an economy that works for everybody, and how do we develop a Michigan that is welcoming to all while protecting our environment. These are the issues that I originally put forward, and I'm really excited to continue them in depth. For folks that want to read more on any of those policy positions, of course, we'll talk about them more today, but feel free to visit my website, johnhoadley.com.
Sevilla Mann, first question for John Hoadley.
All right. Well, you've said that education is a top priority for your campaign, and you've published a 5-point policy document on what you would like to see happen in Michigan education, and that includes expanding access to early childhood education, attracting and retaining the best teachers, and things like changing the way the state funds teacher retirement systems. One thing that you propose is coming up with a capital pool for at-risk schools, and you propose doing that as a matching fund situation where the state would appropriate several $100 million and then the districts would match that. Where do you propose for the state to get that money?
So I think we're having a conversation right now about budget priorities. And, you know, the reality is that we're a $52 billion state. Of course, significant portions of that come from federal dollars, those federal pass-throughs. But in general, we're talking about, $10, $12 billion in state revenue per year. And so for our purposes, we're having a question of where is the best use of that money? When we're talking about tackling some big issues like road funding, when we're tackling big issues like do we give another tax break to a corporation that may not be making jobs or putting money back in our schools, I'm saying let's try the model that has a track record of success. States like Minnesota found that when we reinvest in our local infrastructures, that we end up producing a higher per capita, a higher economic growth state. And so that's the model I'm talking about here. When we're deciding, should we spend money on a tax break or our children's schools? I'm saying we should put money back on our children's schools. And the way I proposed it when the fourth point of my 5-point education plan, which I would invite comment on because it's a white paper. I'm not actually saying it's a finished document yet. I believe that we should have everyone have input, and then let's bring those best ideas, regardless of where they come from, forward. But in this case, I'm talking about, can we create an incentive where the state puts money into a fund that we would then use for construction projects? So literally creating jobs in our communities and a brighter educational future for our children, and then get private foundations, local school districts, and the private sector to match that. That's a model of a public-private partnership that's worked well elsewhere, and I think it could work here.
What would you want to do about the issue of college affordability? Obviously, that's a nationwide problem, but it's certainly hit home in Michigan. What do you think the state legislature should do about it?
There's a few cost drivers that are increasing the cost, of course, of public education. And I want to start by saying public education is not a privilege. It's a necessity for our economy. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone needs to go to college, but I talk about this a lot. Everybody needs to be an expert in something that they love. So we need to be developing a next step education culture coming out of high school. You know, what's your next step that's going to be right for you? That could be a skilled trade. It could be a 2-year degree or a traditional 4 or, beyond into a doctoral program. The point of this, though, is that dream and that requirement of being an expert in something you love is becoming increasingly harder to access because of the affordability problems. So we need to find ways to increase investment in higher education. You know, I was glad to see that the governor's budget increased higher education allocations by 5.9%, but that still doesn't make up for the 15% cut that he put in place when we started this budget process 4 years ago. And so, you know, we're still climbing out of a hole. And as a result, we've been increasingly passing on those costs to families and children who are students who are attending our universities and institutions of higher education. I would argue that we should put more money back in from a state appropriation standpoint. We have the ability and the flexibility to do that. And when we're having a conversation then that we keep running up against, well, where is the money coming from? Remember that that is a constraint that we've placed on ourselves. We've seen other economies work that say when we appropriately ask everyone to pay their fair share, including the wealthy and the well-connected, or corporations who aren't making jobs here in Michigan, then all of a sudden we find the investment that really does drive local growth and increases access to things like higher education.
Sevilla?
On the environment, one local longstanding issue is the former Allied Paper Superfund site, and what the EPA is going to do with it in terms of a cleanup. Are they going to take the dirt contaminated with PCBs away, or are they going to cap it in place? It's often sounded like they favor capping the dirt and leaving it there, which, of course, is a very unpopular option here in Kalamazoo. People would like to see that land cleaned up and used for something else. Those decisions really happen more at the federal level within the EPA, but you said you want to make sure it gets cleaned up all the way. How do you do that from a state level, from that level, rather than a federal one?
Well, Sevilla, I think the point you're making here is twofold. The first is that, as you said, this is a regulatory issue that may largely be out of state hands. It doesn't mean, though, that we should not explore every avenue to put the appropriate pressure on. Can we be working with our federal delegation to put pressure on the EPA to make sure they're listening to local concerns? Can we make sure that we're partnering with the Department of Environmental Quality to make sure that we're also finding creative solutions to maximize any sort of cleanup dollars here? Can we be continuing to raise public awareness on this issue so all of our regulators and all of the folks that are involved in these decisions know that this is the clear voice of our community? And I think we're pretty unanimous in saying that we want it cleaned up and taken away, not covered up, where we're going to have to spend millions of dollars and years monitoring it and hoping and praying that there's not an environmental leak or disaster. But that said, it also, I think, speaks to why Congress matters. So when folks are taking a look at their ballot in November, really thinking about, is our federal delegation doing the job? You know, I think it's interesting that we have one of the most powerful representatives related to the EPA, Congressman Fred Upton. And, you know, and I'm glad to see that he's interested in this issue. But he's also, you know, got kind of a bad rap in terms of being rated, I think, by the Los Angeles Times as one of the number one environmental enemy of the earth. And so it'd be great to see him turn over a new leaf on this one and really make it a priority, which he can do. And I'm encouraged that, you know, this is something if he wants to get done, he could make happen. So let's get it done.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with John Hoadley. He's the Democratic nominee in Michigan's 60th State House District. That includes the city of Kalamazoo. We're also joined today by WMUK reporter Sevilla Mann. Let me ask you about hazardous waste in Michigan landfills. This issue came to light because there was a landfill over on the other side of the state where, by the way, PCB material has been sent previously from Kalamazoo. They were going to accept low-level radioactive waste from Pennsylvania from a fracking operation. The state has now said we want to review the regulations. We have found out today this same company has asked for a tenfold increase in the level of radioactivity of waste that it takes in. What should Michigan be doing about waste from other states, especially material that could be rather hazardous?
Well, let's just take a step back for a second. And when folks are rallying against regulation, you know, let's just bookmark this as a case in point. You know, ultimately, if we don't have strong regulations in place, then sometimes we're left with literally tons of radioactive waste coming into Michigan. And I think we all agree that's not the type of Michigan that we want. But the reality is that when we don't have a strong regulatory presence, this might be the type of Michigan that we get. So, you know, that's why I don't buy into this line that all regulation is inherently bad. Sure, there's always ways that we could improve them. But let's remember, regulations are setting the rules that say this is the base level of conduct or guidelines that we want. So I just want to start with that point. But in this case, there, you know, I'm not in favor of accepting out of state, you know, or out of country radioactive waste. You know, this is a problem that we had, remember, 8 years ago when we were taking Canadian trash. I mean, we constantly have set up a system where we're willing to accept and take the materials that other people don't want. And I think that's not the type of pure Michigan that we're really hoping to have here. That, you know, in particular, too, the Bellevue disposal plant that you're talking about there, where we have it is capable of taking more hazardous material, and it's been designed as a higher level of containment. But that said, too, you know, I think there's so many logistical issues that are about shipping radioactive waste, and you know, and also using this to draw attention to the fact that we're also talking about, there's many folks talking about increasing fracking here in Michigan. So are we going to have some of the same byproducts that they were literally trying to accept from Pennsylvania right now? This is a wake-up call about the big decisions that Michigan will be facing over the next few years. And it's really the impetus on why I tried to get into this race from the very beginning, because some of these decisions will not be able to reverse.
Do you think there should be any fracking in Michigan at all?
I am highly skeptical of fracking. There's more study that needs to be done on it, clearly. But when we don't know the products that are being used to actually do the hydraulic fracking liquids, when we don't know the impact on the seismic activity that in the Great Lakes, when it has risks of contaminating our groundwater, you know, and from what a lot of folks are saying, once our groundwater is polluted, we can't unpollute this. You know, it really is cause for concern, and I think really it bodes well for why we should be cautious of moving forward with any sort of fracking.
Sevilla?
If not fracking, where should the state be looking to for its energy resources in the future?
I think Michigan is in a fantastic position for our energy resources. We're a state that has a history of innovating. We build things, we make things, we grow things. All of those things can be used to power our state as well. So we could be taking advantage of our burgeoning wind and industry here in Michigan. You know, we make so many of these wind turbines and ship them across the country. Let's keep them some more of those here. The solar technology is getting so much more efficient and better every single day. And there's an opportunity that we could be encouraging smart solar energy. You know, we also could be looking at offshore, you know, sort of opportunities with our, you know, with some of our wind power, water power generation. I mean, there's just so many things that we could do that don't involve natural gas or coal or nuclear power. Things that, you know, ultimately have a much larger and long-term carbon footprint, or, you know, safety hazard associated with them, or risk of safety concerns associated with those power.
All right. We're almost at the end of our time. I'd like to ask you, what do you think it would mean to the Kalamazoo area and the state as a whole if there is an openly gay representative in Lansing come the first of 2015?
Well, good news is there's a couple of us that made it through our primaries. And so hopefully it's not just one voice at the table, but many. You know, ultimately, whether we have another LGBT person at the table or, you know, like Stephanie Chang, who may be the first Asian American woman who serving in the state legislature. I think the point is about bringing more voices to this legislative process to reflect the true diversity of our communities. That, you know, this is why we're having more folks running that have different backgrounds than what you traditionally see. But the reason we do that is the same reason that corporate America figured out many years ago. When we have a diversity of people, we have a diversity of backgrounds, we bring a diversity of ideas and solutions. And when we're thinking about the challenges to these very big problems that we're going to face together as a state, we need the best thinkers that we can get there, regardless of what they look like or what their background is. And so I would be honored, of course, to be a voice for Kalamazoo, a voice for the LGBT community, among other voices. And, you know, together, I really think that I'm optimistic about the future of our state, because I think that Michigan has a history of doing amazing things, and we're going to show that we're going to be meeting the future with amazing things to come.
John Hoadley, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
John Hoadley is the Democratic nominee in Michigan's 60th State House District, which includes the city of Kalamazoo. The district is currently represented by Democrat Sean McCann. He is running for state senate. And thanks again to WMUK reporter Sevilla Mann.
Thank you, Gordon.
Other candidates have been invited for interviews on West Southwest. We'll be bringing those to you between now and Election Day. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.